Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to worship Jesus, eh? Wonderful to love him. And yeah, I had a great time in Burundi and Rwanda. I want to tell you quickly about that. I was away 2 weeks, and first week in Rwanda, enjoyed time with the guys up there. Manny's been working into that region for, it had been about 12 years ago that we started to minister into that region and headed up an incredible work there. So even being there a year after his passing away, was wonderful to encourage the guys in Rwanda and in the Great Lakes in Burundi and to reassure them that we are committed to them, that we are still in partnership, that the work wasn't Manny's work and it died with Manny. It's Jesus' work and Jesus alive, so it continues. And so they were so excited. Just the testimonies of what guys were saying, how blessed their lives have been and their churches have been since they've had the input. I mean, it's not that we're special, but it's that Jesus has used us in countries in the middle of Africa to see hearts changed, leaders changed, dropping the kind of hierarchy and the titles, apostle, doctor, and all that kind of stuff. Just getting back to the reality of shepherds loving the flock and the flock loving their shepherds and breaking down that, you know, suit and tie kind of church thing. You know, nothing wrong with it if you've got a suit and tie this morning, but you know, there's something of the reality of the life of Jesus that when it flows from leaders to its people without hierarchy and all these things, you know, you can see the New Testament church being built, Jesus being exalted and Jesus being worshipped as the primary reason for church. And then you see disciples being made, churches growing, people getting saved, really wonderful. And so I had a great time, a strategic time with a key leader from DRC Congo, Mapia Kanigi. He's preached in this church before. Stanley from Bujumbura and his wife Dina, Mapia and what's her wife? What's his wife? Janet, yes. And then there was Gad and Adele from Rwanda, from Kigali. And just the seeing what Manny's been putting in there for years, these guys wanting to carry and encouraging them to just go for it and do the same thing, not having this mentality that when the white guys from South Africa come, that things happen. No, it's Jesus is with you. You can make it happen anywhere at any time. And so there's a lot of wonderful things taking place there. So it was a good time, and I'm glad to be back. Thank you for your support and for backing us and praying for us and helping families back home when we go. You're all a part of this. And so we share in the price, but we also share in the reward. So there's coffee from Burundi here this morning. It's the best coffee in the world. And I reckon we can have a cup for free today. What do you think? Eh? Yes? No? No. All right. Well, $20. Yeah, let's go. No. who wants to buy it for 50? No. Free cappuccino this morning. Everyone, enjoy it. Burundi's good. And yeah, so there's a bit of intentionality too. In while I've been preparing for my preach this week, I was walking at the garden, Botanical Gardens, on Thursday, and while I was walking, I got this kind of vision of a coffee grinder that wasn't quite working, and there was just something wrong with the kind of mechanism with this coffee grind. And if you like me, I love my coffee, and if something's wrong with the grinder, that means there's going to be something wrong with the coffee, and if there's something wrong with the coffee, there's something wrong with me. When the coffee's good, I'm good. When the coffee's bad, I'm bad. Huh? Do you agree? I'm joking. Jesus is always good. He's kind. He's great. He's in our lives. We don't change. He's helping us. He's the constant one. We're up and down. We don't have to rely on things like coffee to keep us happy. But just this picture of this broken grinder. And the Lord's been speaking to me about that thing. So there's going to be a lot of reference to coffee this morning. And I do trust that the Lord will speak to you in a wonderful and powerful way. Can I pray? Thank you. Jesus, I want to thank you for your presence right here, right now. I ask that your fragrance and your aroma would flood every one of us here as we speak about you, as we look at you, as we listen to your words, as we are confronted with the challenges that you challenge people with. We receive the same challenges, and yet the blessing that you gave people in the scriptures are the same blessings you want to give us. So, Lord, may we be attentive to you this morning. I pray that our eyes would be opened, that we would see. Because to see you clearly is to see everything clearly. And so, open our eyes this morning. Open our hearts. Help me, Holy Spirit, as I minister your word and your presence. I pray that everyone here would not just be confronted with the Word, but be confronted with a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He's here. And so, Lord, I pray that every one of us would sense You and know Your presence right now. I also want to pray right now, as the Holy Spirit is among us, the Holy Spirit is in us, that life would come to bodies. If there's anyone that's sick in this place, I've been praying for 100% health for this whole church. Even though my own sinuses and things seem to be acting up, I'm still asking God right here, right now, by the power of Your Spirit, would You wash over us and let every person that experienced any kind of sickness, disease, or illness be set free now. And Lord, let Your healing begin to flow. And I just pray for life from the top of our heads down to the soles of our feet. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit in which God lives, and He is quickening, awakening, giving life to us. So we thank You right now for this. Strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. And everything else you need. If you're trusting the Lord for freedom from something, He can give it to you right here, right now. So trust Him. If you're trusting Him for breakthrough in any area, put your trust in Him. You know, in a split second, God can change your whole life again and again and again. And so while I'm speaking, let Him do things in your heart and life. He's powerful. So we're in the book of Luke. And the portion of scripture we're going to look at this morning is quite a long one. So who's ready to go on a journey through the scriptures together? It's wonderful to read the scriptures. Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect the public reading of scripture. So even while we preach, it's so much better when there's more of the word and less of the talk. Hello? And so I'm going to talk a little bit, but there is going to be a lot of word, and that's what we want. And I'm trusting that as the Lord has given me some interpretation and some illustrations and some of the things that I've read from the word, that it would be a blessing to you. But it's not the final interpretation of all these scriptures. There's so much more in God. You know, you can get a Bachelor of Theology in and have studied every topic and every bit of the Bible from start to finish, and Genesis to Revelation. You can have this Bachelor of Theology and put the certificate up on the wall and think you've arrived. You know what? You've only studied what some people have said about some of the things that you've studied. You can have one person with a Bachelor of Theology and another person who's got a completely contradictory, completely different stance view of everything that you've studied. And so effectively, you've got to go and study again. And this is the reality. You can see scriptures from a certain angle, and at a different point in your life, you'll be at a different angle, and you look at the scriptures again, and it means something completely different. And so we can never come to the point where we say, we know it all, we've got the final authority, we've figured it out. Because for 2,000 years, people have been trying to figure out things and are still battling, still trying, still seeking, still finding the gold and the gems and the beauty in it. And so anytime we arrive with even a doctrine of any sort and say, this is the stance, I tell you what, God is, in His manifold wisdom, can show you another stance, and you can be as impressed with His glory and His beauty from a different perspective. So we never say we've got the final authority. The beauty is the Word is written for us. We can study it. We can be true to doctrine. There are some tight-fisted issues that we're not going to debate about. Jesus is Lord. We're not going to debate about that. Salvation is by faith alone. We're not going to debate about that. But there are some things that are open to interpretation. And a lot of things we learn from each other. And so as I get to know Jesus and I teach you a little bit about the Jesus that I've experienced, I learn from you a little bit about the Jesus that you've experienced in my life. And you know, we get equally blessed when we start to understand there's the multifaceted, glorious, amazing, never-ending, never going to figure it all out beauty of Jesus. Hello? So even if you think you've known, even if you've been a believer for 40 years, and you think, what is this little snotkop going to tell me today? You know what? Jesus is going to teach you something new again and again and again and again. If you stay open and teachable and humble and say, teach me today, Lord, because He's going to guide you, He's going to lead you. So don't worry, I'm not setting you up for some weird doctrine now. But the reality is this, there's so much in Him. Read your Bible start to finish and you'll have a wonderful understanding of God. But start again and you'll have a different understanding. And a different, and a different. And there's so many good things. Anyway, so Luke, the verse I want to just highlight before we get into all the scriptures is this verse, which is, I mean, there's a large portion that I want to preach from, Luke 11, 13, right the way through to chapter 12, 12. So it's a big portion of scripture. But this is one verse, verse 13. Luke 11, 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Who is hungry for the good gift that God wants to give? And who sees the beauty of this, that the more that He has for you is Himself, is the Holy Spirit? And while we have earthly fathers that have given us good gifts, many times we go to our Heavenly Father and we're asking Him for earthly father gifts. Hello? We need a house, we need a car, we need earthly father things. So we are asking the Heavenly Father for earthly father things. But if you dare to ask the Heavenly Father for heavenly gifts, He's going to freely give you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when He's present, He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God the Spirit. He is God Himself. Anything the Spirit does, God did. If the Spirit was hovering and God said, let there be light, and the Spirit was, God the Father said, let there be light, and the Spirit was hovering and there was light, that means the Spirit was involved because the Spirit created. The Spirit is powerful. He is God. So the beauty of the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three persons but one God. It's an incredible thing. You can't get your head around it. Why can't you get your head around it? Because you're not God. And though you're made in His image, you're finite and He's infinite. He's gloriously, wonderfully, amazingly, as far as you can see from eternity past to eternity future, in charge of holding it all together. There must be some things about Him that you definitely won't understand. And so sometimes our friends who are of the Islamic and Muslim faith will want to press us on the issue of the Trinity. So that's the very thing that you can't press us on, because it's the very thing that makes God God. So we will never have a cut and dry answer for you. But if you've got a cut and dry answer for your God, then He's in your box and it's easy for you to understand Him. But our God is far greater than that. He's glorious. He's amazing. He's to the heavens above and below the depths. God is all-encompassing, powerful. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But the Spirit, God Himself, He wants to fill you. He wants to give you Himself as a gift. I remember the day of my wedding. I heard of somebody that was married only 2 months back. And, recently I think there's a couple in our church, new couple that just got engaged, Ian and Elaine. And they are going to enjoy the beauty of having a person given to them as a gift. I remember Sharissa coming down the aisle, dressed in white, beautiful, the most beautiful woman in the world, coming down that aisle, and I was like, oh my gosh, what a gift. What a gift. You know, to have somebody as a gift is an incredible thing. And God wants to give Himself to you as a gift. The greatest gift you could ever have is Him. You were designed for Him. You were designed by Him. He knows what what things fit together. And He knows that He fits with you. And He knows that you fit with Him. And He knows that the greatest satisfaction you could ever find in your life is never, ever going to be by something you can find on this earth. If you had all the money, you'd never be satisfied. If you had all the fame, you'd never be satisfied. If you had your whole pension plan worked out with the same salary doubled even for the rest of your life, if you had that, you will never be satisfied with anything on this earth. Only He can satisfy you. And when you have Him, you can actually let go of everything else, because your satisfaction is so powerful and so real that it sets you free from drugs, sets you free from alcohol, sets you free from smoking, sets you free from looking for something to satisfy you through your flesh, because only from heaven can we be satisfied. And it's a gift from Him. And so you don't even have to go and try and sort your life out before you get it. He gives it to you to help you sort it out. And so He doesn't say pay and then you get. He says, yeah, you get. I paid. And then He helps us and He leads us and He empowers us. What a gift. You know, if He was going to give you a judge for your life, would that be a gift? Imagine the Holy Spirit was a little judge over your shoulder all the time. Don't do that. Stop over this. Oh, you sinner. You're dirty. Wada, wada. That's not what He's given us. He's given us one who reminds us all the time of what Jesus Christ has done at the cross for us. And so, yes, when we step out of line, the greatest gift that we can have is to be told that we're out of line. Because he doesn't want to keep us harming ourselves. But he's going to remind us of his forgiveness. And he's going to remind us of the path that he wants us to walk in. And he's going to remind us of the reasons and the purposes and the rewards and the beauty. And you know, when God's heart is pleased and he's in you, and you do the things that please him, you're pleased. And the pleasure is immeasurable. So what a great place to be. He wants to give you a gift, his Holy Spirit. And so, this is an amazing thing. How much more? Do you know there's more for you, Holy Spirit? There's more for you people, I mean, in the Spirit. Do you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that he lives inside of you if you believe? You know, we often are praying, God, won't you come upon me? We sing the songs, rain down on me. We sing the songs, fall on me. But at Pentecost, he was poured out. And since then, he's on the inside. Where is God? He's in you. Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and that he dwells in you? Fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. Why is it through the laying on of hands? Because those who have him lay hands on and then others have him. He's in us. He's among us. His Spirit is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has sealed himself upon us as a deposit guaranteeing an eternity to come. If God gives a deposit guaranteeing an eternal end, he's not fraudulent. He doesn't say something and then pull out halfway through and sorry, you didn't read the small print. You are sealed. The Holy Spirit is in you. We need to, that song, let us become more aware of your presence. Not as if he's out there. And yes, that song's even singing about fill the atmosphere because he can. But he's filled us. And it's not like we have an empty cup and we need to go to the tap and fill it. Actually, the tap's on the inside of the cup. And when the cup is filled, it's filled from the inside out. And when you start to feel, wow, I've got goosebumps, that's amazing. Maybe it's not him coming upon you. Maybe it's him filling you so full that you're feeling him come out of you from every pore in your body. Hello? From the inside out, the Spirit is in you. What a great gift. It's not a gift that comes, I mean, R.T. Kendall's written a brilliant book about the anointing and about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is like a dove. And there's a difference between a dove and a pigeon. A pigeon's like a rat. I hate pigeons. Can't stand them. They're disgusting pigeons. Anyway, Lord bless you for making them. But a dove and a pigeon, they're completely different. I mean, I used to like pigeons until I saw what was in their feathers. It's like little bugs and funny things. It's like, gross, man, get away. And they coo and they poo and they do all kinds. Anyway, so there's, but this dove, you know, and the Holy Spirit comes and a dove is sensitive. You know, you can skrik a pigeon, but it just comes for more. But a dove is soft. And you kind of, a dove, any little noise, a little breeze, a little wind, the dove flies away. And the illustration is powerful when it comes to the sensitivity that we need to have to the Holy Spirit, because we need to be aware of him. And if we just kind of just grieve him and move in a sinful direction, it's like his anointing and his power to work in our life lifts. But he doesn't fly away. Sometimes I had this image, no, he's left me. Now, David even prayed. He said, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. But he doesn't. The reason why, even as believers, when you sin and the Spirit is in you, it grieves him. That's why it grieves him. He doesn't distance himself. He stays through it while you're doing the wrong thing. And he's grieved because he said, I'm sealed in you. And while he's grieved, you feel grieved. Before, when you never had the Holy Spirit and you used to sin, it was fun, man. We could do this again tomorrow night, guys. What do you think? But it's like when you're born again and you're a new creation, now try sin. You can't. There's no satisfaction. It's terrible. You're warring against the flesh and there's something opposing you. And you don't feel right until you are restored to him who's in you. You say, God, please forgive me. And then you sense that filling from the inside out again. Isn't that beautiful? It's almost like he draws back to the little pilot light while we're in the wrong place. But when we're in the right place, there's an oxygen that breathes on that fire and he sets us alight. He says, don't quench the Spirit who is in you. It's amazing. So let's allow, he's not going to leave us. So then, If he's there to stay, let's use him. But more than that, let him use you. If the Holy Spirit is it, I can yield it. I can use it. But if the Holy Spirit is a person and he's sovereign and he's God, then he uses me. I become his it. So use me, Lord. And that's important for us. So the Spirit. Jesus did everything that he did by the Spirit. But Jesus did everything that he did also with the right heart. And the two are important. The one is the wineskin, the heart. The other is the wine. And the Holy Spirit wants to be like a wine inside of us. But if the wineskin is brittle and tight and tough and hard, it can't move. The beauty of a wineskin that's flexible is that as the wine starts to ferment and as the wine starts to want to increase and grow and move, then the wineskin can shape to it. And so you need a flexible, teachable heart that's open to what the Spirit's wanting to do. Most, when you have a glass bottle, the liquid takes the shape of the bottle. But in a wineskin, the wineskin takes the shape of the wine. So we want to start to have our hearts. And when you see Jesus, you see the shape of the Holy Spirit in everything that he's doing. When he's healing the sick, when he's raising the dead. It's the Spirit of God. And even Jesus said this. He said, the things that you see me do, they're not me doing. I'm only doing that which I've seen my Father do. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, nothing wrong with them. Through a heart that is like Jesus, pliable and ready and sensitive and open to early morning prayer and open to persecution and open to distances of walking tired and thirsty, open to all of that, what starts to happen? The Spirit is flowing. There's a satisfaction. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And he has this different kind of satisfaction in his life. And so we can walk in this. How much more is there? So our hearts need the Spirit of God. You know that the link between God and the broken world is the hearts of the church. The only way the gospel comes to unbelievers is through believers who have his heart. The only way the Spirit of God breaks out upon sick people is when those who have his heart with his Spirit in them go and lay hands on them. Those who believe, they will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Everything that God wants to do, he can do by himself from heaven. He can send a WhatsApp from heaven and sort it all out in a few minutes. But he doesn't want to do it like that. He showed us that when Jesus walked on the earth, the right heart with the right spirit flowing through changes the world. And now he wants to teach his disciples, his followers, the same thing. You and I are on a journey. You and I are going to travel. And the whole thing is what happens to your heart. From the start, your heart is challenged. Your heart is changed. Your old heart is taken out. Your new heart is put in. When you have the heart that he wants, then his Spirit can flow. You know that when your heart is hardened, God's just not doing things through you. But when your heart is open to him, and you see, Jesus has done all these miracles from Luke chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's done all these amazing miracles. He's set people free. He's raised the dead. He's cleansed the lepers. He's opened the eyes of the blind. He's fed 5,000. He's done all these miraculous, wonderful things. He could literally go straight from there to the cross, die on the cross, pay with his blood for everyone to be set free, and we all go straight to heaven. Hello? Nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong with that. It's not his plan. Plan A for God is not to do it all himself. Plan A for God is to use his church. To use his church to crush Satan's head. To use his church to bring about the work that Jesus began, bring it through us to the world. You and I are the answer of God on the earth. Therefore, our hearts have to be right. And we have to go on this journey with Jesus. So chapter 9, 10, 11, all the way up to 19 is everything that's on the inside here. This is what the whole journey of a wanderlust is. A strong desire coming from God to travel and explore the world. Why? Because we've got what they need. And our hearts have to be right to give it. Our hearts are not right when we start. And folk, you may have a new heart. And this is a beautiful secret. That a minute you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are declared holy. Perfect in his sight. No work required. Finished by him. You can go to heaven right away because you're holy. A holy place can't accept unholy people. You can go there because you're holy because of his blood. Amen. And the Holy Spirit can't dwell in something unholy. So the reason you can have the Holy Spirit in your life when you're not perfect is because His blood has made you holy enough for the Holy Spirit to be in you. But now holiness is something that needs to start to change us and work in us. Because if I am that in God, I need to become that in my own experience in life. And so I'm not trying to, by my experience, become holy so that God can accept me. No. I'm accepted because Jesus was holy. And I'm holy because of His blood on me. So I'm accepted. My salvation is secure because Jesus is holy for me. But other people's salvation is dependent on my holiness. And if I'm going to have a hand in their lives, I've got to change my heart and life. If I just let myself be like I was and say, oh, I got my ticket to heaven and I'm holy in His sight, but I just keep doing unholy things, who's going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? So you talk about losing salvation. You can lose other people's salvation by the way you behave. So let's receive what He's given us. And let this work of the Spirit in us bring about that holiness that is already ours into every part of our hearts. And let us start to show in a way that the world says, we want that. We're hungry for that. Because they can't go straight to God for it. They can pray to God, but what's He going to do? He's going to send one of us. Hello? I mean, even if you get saved through a dream in a desert somewhere and Jesus reveals Himself to you, you're still going to come to be a part of us. We're the answer of God on the earth. Do you understand the role that you play? Do you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that Him through you is God's plan A? You don't just come to church so that you can be holy, so that you can walk in holiness of your own life, so that you can reign in life and you can buy all the books. Your best life now, reign in life now. It's not about you reigning in life. It's about His Spirit in hearts that are reaching out for a world that needs Him. It's not about my place on a nice comfortable chair on Sunday. It's about everything that I do from Sunday till next Sunday among those who need Him. Church is not a place where we stay. Church is God's hand through our hearts to the world. We've made it some things that it isn't. We complain about the music. We think about this. Oh, the coffee's cold. Why don't they have heaters in the place? Wada, wada. Folk, if it's cold in here, imagine how cold it is out there for people who don't have Him. If you've got a fire inside of you, well, then set that thing ablaze because it's not for here. We've already got Him. They need Him. And so our hearts have to change. The reason why you have all these complaints about the fire and the music is because your heart still has to change. Hello? Mine too. Hello? So my coffee machine, I had it serviced. I serviced my coffee machine. There's nothing wrong with Burundi coffee. But when I put it in the machine, it grinds it up. And then there's other funny noises. And then there's some, like, it sounds like something's going to break. And then the next thing, coffee comes out. But lime scale gets into the water pipes. And residue and oil from previous coffee gets into the coffee pipes. And if I don't look after that thing 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and I go and I put it, I say, wow, wonderful, Burundi coffee, put it in the back there, and I put it on, and take my cup and drink, whoa, that's hippers, that's bitter, what the heck? I don't want to drink that. So, hey, well, I've got to service the machine, right? Nothing wrong with the coffee, but the machine affects the coffee, and I taste something. Nothing wrong with Jesus and His kingdom. Nothing wrong with His Word and His Spirit. Nothing wrong with the wine of God. But it's got to go through this machine before the world tastes it. And if we don't get the oils out, and if we don't get the lime scale out, and if we don't make sure the grinder's set properly and the things are working inside, they're going to say, that stuff's bitter. We don't want that. Because most people who reject God have rejected church. Because they tasted the bitter and they say, we don't want that. We don't want God because of you. We say, oh God, come, let the grinder do the work in my heart again. Come and change me. Come and do things. Let me have a love for all people. Get rid of that little racist edge there. Oof, that's not going to help if God wants to move amongst nations. Oh, get rid of that little greed thing there. That's not going to help if God wants to move among poor people. If so many people are thirsty for the right kind of coffee, they've heard of this coffee bean. And if you just give them the beans, it's bitter in the mouth. You can't. It's got to go through someone. It's got to have changed someone to change someone else. So there's free coffee today, folk. Nothing wrong with a Burundi coffee. And maybe it tastes not like you expect. Just remember, it's not the coffee. Might just be the machine or the guys making it. Bless them, it's free today. Who wants to have some work on their hearts this morning? Proverbs 4, from verse 23. Just verse 23 says this. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Guard your heart. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 and 16. It says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in these things, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. We've got to look after ourselves, our hearts. But there are some hindrances. So let's deal with some hindrances as we go through the passages. They're cool. I've got a whole lot of hindrances. They're H's. We want to be holy. We want our hearts to be changed. But there's some hindrances, and they're even on the handout. With an H. Thanks. There they are. Half in, half out. That's going to affect the coffee. Home alone. Hearing with one ear, out the other. Hard heart. Hiding the light. Holding back. Honoring man. It says honor it man. Sorry. Hindering others. Hypocrisy. All those kind of things we've got to get out of our hearts. Rather, hide nothing. Have a housetop kind of boldness. Be hell free. Have your hairs numbered. Know that God cares about you. Honor Christ, honor the Holy Spirit, and have hour by hour dependence. Should we look at all those, see how we go? And then we're going to break bread together. We good? So, let's read passages of Scripture together. Is it Luke 11, verse 14? Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their hearts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons. I love this. The finger of God is always pointing to Jesus. The finger of God is the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God casts out unclean spirits. There's the Holy Spirit, and these are unclean spirits. Then the kingdom of God has come, because now the reign of the king is there. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So we can't have a half-in, half-out mentality. There's no middle ground. We must remember, folk, we have been set free from the kingdom of darkness and have come into the kingdom of light. That's where we are right now. We used to be under the kingdom of Satan. When you accept Jesus Christ as your king and as your Lord, you come into the kingdom of God. So we are no longer under the kingdom of Satan. Other people are under the kingdom of Satan. Doesn't matter what good things they do, how nice they are, how many grannies they carry across the street. It doesn't matter. If you don't have that king in your life, you're under Satan. Full stop. There's only two places to be. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light.
Fuck, the world needs a coffee that's not contaminated. It needs to be wholehearted. The whole bean. You want to mix all kinds of funny things. And so we can see this. A house divided against itself can't stand. You don't want to say you're a Christian on Sunday, but you're doing other stuff on Monday. You know, please, I beg of you to be set free today. Jesus has set you free. You don't have to go there anymore. It's like the prison doors open and you want to still go sit on the chair you used to sit on when you were captive. You know, don't go there. Stay, run out into the fields and into the beauty and the space that God has created. It's amazing. You know, why if the edge of the cliff is the most dangerous place to be, do we want to play there? Go to the space where there's no danger. Live in the light. Live in the freedom. Don't dabble on the side and say, that's, oh, my dad was like this, and oh, I'm like this, and oh, I got a bloodline this, and I got a that, and that. We're all trying to excuse the fact that we don't want to play where God's called us to play. Drop the excuses. I saw this cartoon or something, and it was like a wheel of excuses, and it had all these things, and you just spin it and pick one. Now you see, we're always looking for something to pick so that we don't have to do what God's asked us to do. Let's run where he's called us. There's so much freedom in him. Don't be half in, half out. Then it goes this, verse 24, return of the unclean spirit. And so you can see that Jesus wants to set people free from darkness. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. And then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. So what's happening here is someone who's not getting their lives changed by Jesus, but trying to change their lives by their own disciplines, their own abilities, maybe by some kind of magic or some kind of formula or reading stars or doing all kinds of other things. And in those days, the Jews were exorcising demons, but they weren't being set free because the kingdom wasn't coming. So these people would be like empty, clean houses, but then the demons would come back. And you, if you do anything to try clean your heart, apart from have Jesus Christ in it, it just comes back. So when Jesus is in your heart, you're set free. You're fully set free. He takes residence. So yeah, he's painting the picture for them. Don't try and do it yourself because it's just going to bring you back into trouble and into danger. So the kind of thing we need to have is him in our homes and him in this home, at home in our hearts. Let's not neglect our heart. Let's not have an idle heart. Let's not have an indifferent heart. An indifferent, idle heart is a vacuum for sin. Default mode for your heart is sin. So when you're not filling it with God and his word, what happens? Default. This goes 10 straight back there. It always has since the beginning. Tends towards evil all the time. So get back to the things of the Spirit. Get back to the things of God. Get back into that place where, Holy Spirit, you're in me. Fill this place. Take residence. You've sealed me now. And that's what brings ultimate change and ultimate transformation. I mean, what has to happen in our hearts is a revolution from one king to another. And once that revolution has taken place, there's a transformation that we begin to walk out. And God starts to change us little by little. Way better than if we're thinking we've kept it all clean and the next thing we're falling again. Don't have a I'm clean on Sunday mentality. Don't have a, I'm clean in front of the whole world, but in my own home, I'm dirty. You know, is the Holy Spirit leading you in your own house? I felt like the Lord said to me, even this week, Brad, why do I have to fight you in your own home? I was like, wow, God, please. You know, it's like, I want to follow the Holy Spirit. I want him to lead me. But in my own house, I lead it. And I'm in charge. No. Don't fight him there. Let him be in charge again. Let the Spirit come with your children. Let the Spirit come while you're washing dishes. Let him lead. Let him guide. It's so much better. We can't have this clean house on the outside, but different at home. You know, different on the inside. Lord, let us have your presence all the time. And then he goes on, verse 27. And he said to them, said these things. A woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed. And he said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. I mean, Mary was blessed. Why? Not because she got to have a virgin birth. Because she believed God and obeyed God. In the face of much scorn and slander, she believed that God would do what he said he would do, and God did it. And so she's only blessed because she was a believer. You are blessed when you hear God and do what he says. It's not just a thing of hearing God Sunday after Sunday, 52 preachers, in the one ear, out the other. No. Hear him and do it. We don't want to just hear in the one ear and out the other. But believing results in obeying. And that's what the gospel does for us. Once we hear the gospel and we are saved and we believe in him, we start to do things. And that's a blessed life. Do you know how blessed you are? Hello? It's important that you know how blessed you are. Let me tell you why. If you do not know how blessed you are, the devil can offer you a different blessing. And you'll fall for it if you don't realize how blessed you are in Christ. If you see the blessing of being a Christian, of having Jesus in your life, knowing that blessing is a person and not stuff. Oh, I wish I had friends. You've got a friend. His name's Jesus. You're blessed. Oh, I wish I had money. You've got the provider of everything in the world. His name is Jesus. You're blessed. Oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Rather have him, and you will be extremely blessed. And if you see the blessing in it, when the devil comes and says, why don't you just take this? Why don't you just have that? Why don't you go for this thing? You say to him, actually, that's not blessed. I don't want that. I'm going to rather hear God's words and do them because that's blessed. Obedience is blessed. Listening to him is blessed. Don't get into this debate with God with options of why you shouldn't obey. The minute you try and negotiate with God and have alternatives, you're not blessed. Just do what he says. You'll be blessed. So, continues. When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, this generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Remember, Jonah was thrown in the water. A fish swallowed him. 3 days later, he was on the shore. And the sign of Jonah is like Jesus. Jesus dies. 3 days later, Jesus is alive. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that sign. A much deeper, stronger sign, because Jonah was just in water. Jesus died. Jonah was in a whale. Jesus was in the grave. And Jonah was spat out on the shore. Jesus rose again. And so, as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. In other words, these people all responded when they saw wisdom and they had to repent, but in Nineveh and in Solomon's day. But Jesus is saying, I'm here and I'm doing all these things and you're not responding. That's a hard heart. A hard heart's going to get you in trouble. A hard heart. You're going to have other people who are softer than you, who responded to God, stand against you in judgment on the judgment day. So, folk, think about this. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Jesus is alive. Thursday was Ascension Day. Jesus is seated on the throne. Next Sunday is Pentecost. Jesus has poured out his Spirit. The church, we've got 2,000 years of proof that Jesus is alive. And we've got every tongue and every tribe and every nation worshiping Jesus everywhere. You've got people trying to snuff out the Bible and they can't. And it's alive and good and well. What does it tell you? We've got way more proof than other generations have had. So for us to say, no, we don't want that, it's absolutely our own hardness of heart. And so hardness of heart is not going to get us anywhere. Let's rather be like that queen who pursued wisdom. Pursue wisdom in Jesus. And when you find something, be like Nineveh. Repent and change. If you can't repent and change when something is challenging your heart, how are people in this world going to repent and change if you hold out to them the gospel? If we are not changed by the coffee we drink, how can we expect anyone else to be changed when we offer it to them? And so it's important that we don't have a hard heart. So we're right. Then it goes on. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. Folk, it's amazing when we look to Jesus. His gospel is a light. The Holy Spirit is a light. His Spirit in us is a light. Jesus, the glory of God, is the light. He's the light of the world. When you're looking to him, you can see clearly everything else in your life. Changes your life and you start to shine. But when we hide from the light, when we hide the light away from areas in our lives, when there's parts of our heart that have got a little secret code on it, all access Jesus except that part. That little zone that we've got a little alarm system guarding God from. Fuck, you can see it all already. Open your heart and let the light shine on every part. Because if his light can shine on every part, his light can shine through you to everyone. There's people that are stuck in darkness. And darkness will not set people free from darkness. Only light can set people free from darkness. And so we need no darkness in us. And so there are areas in our hearts, again, once again, this is a powerful and important work that Jesus wants to do. We are the answer to the world's problems, but our hearts have to be transformed. Our hearts have to be changed. We've got to work out the stuff in our hearts. Let His light shine. Are we good? Don't hide the light from yourself, and in that way hide the light from others. While Jesus was speaking, verse 37, a Pharisee asked Him to dine with him. So He went in and reclined at the table. And the Pharisee was astonished to see that He did not first wash before dinner. The Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not He who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." Isn't it amazing? When you have Jesus permeate your heart, your selfishness and greed is done for. And one of the signs that He is in your heart is generosity. One of the signs that He's still doing a lot of work in your heart is you're selfish and you're greedy and you hold back. Holding back is a sign of a work that still needs to be done in your heart. God, do a work in our hearts so that we can be generous with our words, be generous with the gospel when there's lost people, be generous with the lifestyle that they can watch, be generous with our finances so the gospel can advance, be generous with our homes, be generous with our food, be generous with our clothes, be generous with everything. Generosity is an indication of a heart that's full of God. When there's a cutback, oh, we want to fight about the tithe, and oh, that's Old Testament and all that. Oh, come on. Who's in your heart? Is there an exacting accountant in your heart, or is there a blessing, favorable, abundant God? Set yourself free and let your hearts be like His. Verse 42, are we all right? We're going to do well. Are we fine? Guys, this is good. We are having heart surgery. Remember, the coffee's free. But woe to you, Pharisees. For you tithe mint and rue and herb and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done, the tithing, without neglecting the others, the love and the justice. There's a scripture if you want one about New Testament. Woe to the Pharisees, for they love the best seat in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves. People walk over them without knowing it. In other words, the problem with an unmarked grave is nobody knows who's there. And these guys want to be and known as someone. They find the spots where they can be, you know, liked and loved. But actually, when they die, their names are gone. In God's economy, it's not about trying to impress people. Because if you will only go after those who have a name, how will you save someone who's unknown? And so there has to be this thing of not trying to get the honor of man and honoring man. In the page, it says they honor it man. Anyway, it's when we can honor God and love God and reach anyone, it's a wonderful thing. I don't think I'm going to be able to get through all the scripture with you. Who says I should? They're like, okay, you stay. Like, who still needs work in their hearts? Huh? who admits they still need lots of work in their hearts? Because I've got a lot more, yeah. I'm just testing. Hindering others. You know, these Pharisees would hinder people from coming. Hypocrisy, Jesus said, this was the whole problem with them. They say one thing, they portray a standard, but they don't live it themselves. Folk, the worst thing we can do for the world is tell them they have to fix their lives, knowing that you need the Holy Spirit to help you fix yours. How are they going to do it without the Holy Spirit? The worst thing we can do is hold out the Ten Commandments to our government and tell them to change, but we haven't held out the gospel that teaches them of one who changes them. The worst thing we can do is hypocritically tell people what to do. Rather tell them about a person named Jesus who loves them and cares for them. And then let Him tell them what to do. And so how do we live? What kind of life can we live? I'm just going to run through the last points, then we're going to break bread together. Hide nothing. Open your hearts. Let your hearts be vulnerable, accountable, transparent, honest. Talk to someone about what's in your heart. At least talk to your spouse about what's going on in your heart. How can they love you if they don't know you? How can they care for you? How can they bring forgiveness or grace to you if they don't know what's going on in your heart? If you're hiding stuff from them, how can there be true unity and union if you're hiding things? One of the worst things to go through, even for me, is to have to confess to Sharissa when I'm out of line. And be vulnerable and open and transparent and risk being, you know, rejected and pushed aside or anything. Thank God she's gracious and kind. Because God does things in her heart. And so when we have to hide stuff, folk, it's an injustice in the church and to the world. And it's hurting you. But reveal and be healed. You need an accountability partner. You need somebody you can talk to. You need to lay things out on the table. Hide it away at your own peril. But let's get to the place where we can have housetop boldness. Where we can stand on the roofs of places and declare what God has done. The testimonies of Him having set us free is real and true and powerful. And so when you've got a problem, the testimony is only one confession away. Because once you confess it, you're set free. And then you've got something you can tell others about. And so, be hell free. Please don't compromise and don't fear. God's with you. Your hairs are numbered. God has you. Let's honor Christ. Let's honor the Holy Spirit. There's a very weighty scripture when it talks about anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Think about this, folk. If the Holy Spirit brings the forgiveness of God, and you resist the Holy Spirit, you've resisted the forgiveness. So don't sit in this room and say, oh, I hope I don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You can't. You've already been forgiven. You've already received Him. You already love Him. He's already in your life. You cannot commit an unforgivable sin if you're forgiven. Hello? But if you are unforgiven, because the only way to be unforgiven is to reject Jesus, and you reject the one who's bringing Jesus to you, which is the Holy Spirit, then you cannot be forgiven. But if you accept the one who's bringing the message, the Holy Spirit, and you receive what He's giving you, you have the forgiveness of the cross. This is also something, this is where the weightiness comes. When you and I live in a way that dishonors the Holy Spirit, people cannot be forgiven. So God, let's partake of the bread and the wine, and let's allow His blood to wash over us. And let's consider what His body was as a temple of the Holy Spirit, so that you and I too would be temples of the Holy Spirit, and bring the cleansing, the forgiveness, and the goodness of God to ourselves, and let our hearts be open so that we can bring it to others. If we resist His work in us, others will not be forgiven. But if we allow Him to work through us, others will find Him and will be touched by Him. You are the answer for the salvation of people. Your heart is important.